Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. Katie Miglin is back on the show again, going to grace us with her presence and beautiful smile. And who knows, who knows what great conversation we're going to get into. Please go grab your coffee, your tea, your water, whatever you got. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Teach Better Today morning show. Hi, Katie Miglin. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray Hubert.
What are you drinking in your cup over there? What do you got?
I got coffee, splash of creamer.
Ooh, that's okay.
Oh yeah. What about you? You got a coffee mug over there?
I don't. I have a glass of water.
Are you sick? Do you have the flu?
It feels like it. Yes. Okay. We're just going to dive right into this. Hi, everybody. Let's get into my therapy session. This is what happens. I don't have these moments when other people are on the show with me. But for you, I'm like, okay, lay down on the couch. Here we go. I'm trying to be healthier. And one of the things I have been reading about, and I have an app now, because, you know, I'm always committed with finding the apps, is doing fasting.
Intermittent fasting?
Yes, kind of. So you fast for 16 hours and eat for 8. Do you know this?
I have heard of this. Yes.
Okay. I think Jeff does this too.
I feel like I know a fair number of people who this has been successful for them.
Yeah. So I'm getting used to it. I'm on a week in. Okay. I think the concept that I'm struggling with, mentally, not actually struggling with, is that during the fast, there's actually things you can consume. So. Okay. When I got up this morning and got ready for the show, I was like, oh, I can't have anything. I'm going to just have water, which is fine. But actually there's a ton of different things it says you can still have, which is water, tea, coffee. It says you can have that during your fast, which I should have grabbed a coffee. So I'm admitting a fault right now.
Isn't there some rule of what you can put in your coffee? You can only have black.
Yeah, just black coffee. Yeah, same with water. It's nothing. You can't add anything to these things. The tea, I think it gives you a list of ingredients that are fine, all natural teas. I'm worried about getting jittery in the morning, so I've been trying to put my coffee on till later in the day and start with water. So this is my second water. I also, as you know, am terrible at drinking water throughout the day. So I was if I start with water, at least I'm in the winning category.
Well, I have heard that is a thing. If you look at how to start your day successfully, they do say if you can start and drink 12 ounces of water, whatever it is, that actually sets your day up pretty well. I'm really good. I'm pretty phenomenal at filling it. And then it sits while I drink all the coffee.
I think the element that I was most nervous about was the morning time because, so the issue with the 16 hours of fasting isn't the fasting for me. It's that I need to set it up where the fasting doesn't affect my social elements, social obligations. Essentially what it is you have to either eat an early dinner or skip dinner because then you can eat then you can have coffee and have a breakfast at a normal time. But family creates an issue. I like sitting down and having dinner with the family. Right. Which means then the fast, you start later, which means you have your breakfast or, you're essentially skipping breakfast, your first meal's at noon. So trying to find the balance of that. But I was most nervous for the morning. I actually like the water in the morning, but I want to do coffee. Maybe I'll try that tomorrow, but I don't want to get jittery because that's when I want food. Because if I drink coffee and get jittery, then I'll want to eat.
Right.
So. I think I'm
going to just try with a half a cup or sip on it slowly or something.
Yeah. So that will be my goal is, yeah.
I would be interested in the comments because I know this is a common thing. Like, this is something that a lot of people do. If you're someone who does it, what do you find is successful in the morning for raised concerns?
That's good. Yeah. Help me out. The other thing I like is not that, again, you guys know I'm always like pitching these random things I've looked into, but this app I like a ton because mm-hmm. it's run by AI, and I'm finding that I can easily ask it how to make whatever I want to eat the healthiest option possible. And I need that. Like, it's not that I can't, it's not that I don't want the healthy option. It's that I don't know what it is. So I can literally type in like, what's the healthiest thing I can make this morning for breakfast? And like, give me some ideas. Or, hey, I'm making an omelet. Like, what should I put anything in it? Like, what's your thoughts? And so I like the opportunity when you log your meal, it's like, do you want to know how to make this an even better scoring healthy meal? Right. Sure. And it's like, it's usually like add almonds or add something. I'm like, well, sure. I'll have a handful of almonds. I don't care. You know, like, sure. Mm-hmm. So it's kind
that of, it's nice to like, just have something do the thinking for you.
Yes. Cause that's the part I struggle with. Or, I mean, I have like the dumb questions where like, I'm making those smoothies I'm obsessed with. And I'm like,
you have a smoothie obsession? I had no idea.
But I'm like, okay, what's healthiest? Like, first of all, are these healthy? The app has confirmed that the smoothies are healthy. Thank goodness. I'm committed. But the other thing is, I'm like, should I be putting almond milk or whole milk? Like, I don't care. It tastes delicious. Just like, tell me which one's better.
What did it say?
It actually said that it didn't much matter. And so, and like, there wasn't much of a difference if I did one or the other, which again is nice information to have because I like the almond milk better for whatever reason in these smoothies. So if it really doesn't matter, then I can feel good making the choice I want to make, you know?
Yes. And then you're more likely to stick with whatever plan you have because you're eating something you actually like and it fits that. That's what I feel like is the hardest part with any eating fad. I won't even say diet, but like eating fad is like having to let go of things that you actually enjoy. And then it's like unlikely to stick because you're like, well, I don't really want that because that sounds gross right now.
Right. Right. So that's been really nice. And the other thing I like, which again, what is this app called? I don't actually know as I'm like talking about it.
You're trying to get a sponsorship?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a sponsorship. It's called Simple, literally. It's a purple icon. The thing I also like is you can message it like, I'm eating at Subway. What's the healthiest thing I should order? And it will give you options or ingredients you should include. I did the same thing for like, there's a place near my place that it's called Curito. It's a salad place I'm obsessed with. I'm like, what's the healthiest thing on the menu? Just tell me what it is and I'll eat it. You know, like I love that place.
Especially so, if you like most things on the menu, you know that it won't like lead you astray.
Yeah. It's just, I like that you can kind of talk to it like a coach versus talking to it with the app that has restrictions. I mean, AI is kind of creepy, but this is definitely a cool feature. I feel like I'm paying for a personalized nutrition coach. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Let's see if it works, guys. Let's see if I end up being really healthy. Like in 3 months, if I look really healthy, you guys will be like, wow, now I'll go try that purple app.
Maybe.
Yeah. Are you doing anything these days? I mean, tell me about the challenge you're doing with your family. I feel like people would be
interested. Oh, yeah.
What's that?
So we, just my husband and I are both, I mean, I just obviously got done being pregnant. And when you're pregnant, at least when I'm pregnant, I don't care about what I eat. I just eat whatever sounds good. And so we just were like, okay, January 1st, we're going to start like getting back into healthy lifestyle, just making better choices. So we started a challenge, the two of us, and it's literally just a healthy lifestyle challenge. So it's, you get points for how much water you drink. You get points if you work out. You get points if you do like a quality workout, meaning like you take the family for a walk or you go for like an additional run or something. And then you get points for like actually working out and just like, it's all broken up by points, but it's not, and you like lose points if you have a dessert or fried food. So, which is what we needed. We needed just some like fun way to kind of get back into it. But we did it for 2 weeks, and then our 8-year-old was very interested and like heard us talking smack. So now she's in it, as Ray knows, because Ray came over, and she's like all about it. She had got a, you know, a new Stanley. So she's all about tracking her water now. And she loves to come home from school and say, I drank two of these today. Where are you guys at? And so it's super fun for her, and she's swimming. And so she like, that's her workout. So we're trying really hard not to focus on anything other than just like healthy lifestyle, making healthy choices. And it's just been fun to like talk, you know, talk to each other, smack talk and stuff. So
I love when I came over to your place, I loved it because it's just a really simple chart based on points. And it's fun to be able to walk over and be like, okay, what can I do to get more points? Like it, and it's a, you know, what do you think? There's like 12 things on there that probably either take away or add. And so when I was there with your 8-year-old, I was like, dude, if we just do like 40 sit-ups, we get points. Like, done. Let's just do it really quick.
Super fun. Yes. Yeah. It's been fun just to like those little things, but even like for my husband and I, it's good. Like, you know, so often we would watch TV and like, we obviously had the baby. So one of us would be like holding the baby. And I just felt like we were kind of getting into a bad rut of like watching TV, either having like a cocktail or like eating a dessert or something. And so now it's like, oh, I haven't done, you know, this, I'm going to lay on the floor and do a quick ab workout while we watch a show, or I'm going to stand and do squats while holding the baby so that I can get my, like my points. So it's been like good for all of us. So I would just, you know, I'd recommend something, just something to kickstart, but make sure it's fun.
I love a good gamified version of something cool. Yeah. Tell us what you guys are doing. We're interested. I just want to note that Katie did not allow her daughter to have a Stanley. And so that was why I made it. I sent one over there. So for all of you who are like, oh my God, an 8-year-old has a Stanley. Yeah. Katie was in the same boat that you guys were. So. Sorry.
Not. Yep. Ray has officially taken the cool aunt status in our house because Harper thinks you're literally like the coolest person ever. So.
Cause I send her Stanleys. Fair.
Yeah. And you did an ab workout in the middle of our kitchen with her so she could get her points for the day.
That
they literally talked about it all night long. She's like, Ray is so cool.
That I'll lay on the kitchen floor. Can I tell you guys, here's the deal. If you're going to lay on any kitchen floor and do an ab workout, you do it at Katie Miglin's house because she's neurotic and not keeping her house clean. So if you lay on my kitchen floor, you're going to get up and have like macaroni on your butt. But she is like the cleanest person of all time. I would lick that kitchen floor. Okay. It is so clean. We'll be right back. To the Teach Better Today morning show. Thank you for sticking with us. I hope that we inspired you to maybe incorporate or reflect on some healthy habits this morning. And if not, just drink a water and go get a, you know, adult beverage later and it'll count. It'll be fine. Katie Miglin, I mean, it's totally fine. Katie Miglin and I are here and we are going to answer a listener question, which is always so fun. We actually had a few listener questions on this topic. So we're going to kind of broadly discuss it. And hopefully that touches on a few of things that you guys are considering. Katie, we're talking IEPs and 504s and how to support this huge variety of students that are coming into the classroom, some of them having IEP and 504 requirements and trying to like service that on a consistent basis, how to reach kind of these diverse learners. So we're going to start there. Give us your initial thoughts. What comes to mind?
This is like a hard topic because I am not someone that only feels like those are the only kids that could use additional support. So I feel like even if a kid doesn't have an IEP or a 504 or whatever, you know, even if they're like not an intervention, at any given time, kids need additional support. So I felt like I always just kind of looked at my classroom that way of like, what are some things that I could do to like help any struggling learner right now with this lesson? But specifically for you know, students with some sort of document that goes along with them. I just feel like it was important to like review, but also talk to whoever was like responsible for that paperwork, because I felt like they were the expert on knowing the back end. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's easier said than done. You know, we know like it's sometimes really hard to connect with a LBS1 or resource teacher, or like whatever that person is, but just kind of knowing what the document says, and also like talking to the parents of what, you know, what are some things historically that have struggled. You and I both taught math, and I felt like that was always something that was like a trigger for anxiety, and kids struggled naturally. So I felt like it was important to connect with a parent, especially if I saw like math was a big part of the IEP or 504, you know, if there was some barrier, to kind of connect to say like, okay, where have we been and where do you want to go? And so that you could continue to support it. But honestly, I felt like once the year got going, it was like, you all are learners in my classroom, and at any given time, you're going to struggle with a topic. And at any given time, you might excel in a topic. A document shouldn't define you. And so I just kind of like kept it in the back of my mind, but treated them, you know, the same, I guess, if that sounds right.
No, I think you're highlighting something that was my go-to as well, which is if a student needs a specific support, I like to offer that as an option to my whole class. So, yes. You know, it's very, very common on IEPs and 504s to allow for extended time. Well, if you do mastery learning where students get to work at their own pace, then all students have the opportunity to have as much time as they need to work on anything, which mm-hmm. immediately kind of allows that to be an opportunity for all students.
Right.
It's also very common to have directions read aloud. Well, perfect. If you're structured, for instance, like in a grid for a mastery learning framework, I would just have an option where I'm like, you can read these directions on your own, or if you click this button, I'm reading it for you, or the program will read it for you. You know, like offering those things to every student. Mm-hmm. The value of 504 and IEP is not something to overlook. I mean, I was an IEP student right. myself, and it's very important, but I find, and this is I apologize if this is like an uncommon opinion, but an IEP and 504 are really to document the student progress over time and support with the outside things going on outside of the classroom. Inside mm-hmm. the classroom, I kind of agree with you. We should be offering those things to as many students as possible if that's what they need to be successful. Just the students with IEPs will have additional testing that needs to happen to track their progress and, mm-hmm. You know, kind of some more clear communication grade level to grade level. But I think that's a big thing, is if trying to figure out how to get those supports to be universal is going to be helpful.
And I will say, you know, if you're listening and you're like, whoa, you know, to some of the things we're saying, be mindful. Ray and I also taught middle school. And so there was some independence with middle schoolers. I remember we'd have kids that would come even from like, you know, sixth grade to seventh grade. The IEP meetings would lean heavily on a student needs to advocate for themselves. So if they want the directions read aloud, they will need to advocate. Or if they need a, you know, accommodating seats, they need to advocate. So I did feel like that kind of gave us some flexibility to allow the student to try different things, you know, whether they were like, okay, I'm not going to have the directions read aloud on this assessment. Let's see how I do. And so I felt like there was some, because of our students' ages, I do think, especially if a kid is like super early in their, you know, education career, there are going to be more accommodations that do need to be like kind of strictly followed, because you're trying to navigate like what supports do they need, what's working, what doesn't, stuff like that. I feel like there were so many in our grade levels that they had kind of started to identify what worked, what didn't.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I also think that, you know, IEPs and 504s are created because the quote unquote universally accepted system is not working for sure. said student. And the reality is that if you're implementing progressive, you know, research supported means to plan your lessons, then your students are automatically on the up and up. Your students are automatically in a winning zone. So I just really feel like my experience has been, if you're offering any sort of personalized or mastery focused classroom, IEPs and 504s become so much easier to accommodate for, because you're doing it for everybody always. You just have a better idea of what success looks like for that student, just because there's a paper trail to give you some additional insight, which can be helpful. But if you're struggling with 504s or IEPs, we would love to talk shop, reach out to us, see if there's anything our team can do to support you. Cause obviously
I do think that it also is helpful when you're applying those universal, whatever you want to call them, you know, if you want to give an accommodation to the whole class or providing them to everyone, it also is very helpful in identifying students that have maybe like fallen through the cracks. So if a student has like is consistently leaning on accommodations or modifications and that's the only way they can be successful, I do feel like it helps have that conversation of saying like, here's the things that they have needed. And it's no longer like they were just out of it that day or they just like didn't feel like it. It provides more data to say like, I'm concerned about the student's ability to learn because they can't be successful without these. So
but with them, they can be. And so now you have evidence on both ends, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So keep submitting those listener questions. We're always here to support you. I would say that if 504s or IEPs are an area that you are struggling to support, please reach out to us. I think sometimes this topic specifically lends itself to kind of a personalized conversation. There's always that one student that if you had more context on, we're able to provide more specific support. So just please know we're here to be a, brainstorm buddy with you. Katie, thanks for a great show. I'm excited to see all of you friends in the future as you head into your day. We hope you have an amazing, amazing day ahead. And we'll see you next time on Teach Better Today.
Bye, friends.
Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.